Chapter 12. Mr. and Mrs. Cheney travel east. After her son's tragic disappearance, Mrs. Cheney took the next ship back to the United States and sent a telegram to her husband. He immediately traveled to the East Coast to meet his despairing wife. Nothing could console her, and he didn't know what to do. He took her to their house in San Diego, on the West Coast, but he didn't have any energy for work, and he thought about selling his business. One Saturday morning in September, Mr. Cheney's assistant came running with a telegram in his hand. He looked shocked. He gave the telegram to Mr. Cheney, and his hand trembled. The telegram said, "I'm alive! A fishing boat saved me. Great times fishing on the Grand Banks. All is well. Waiting in Gloucester, Massachusetts, at the House of Disco Troupe. Love you both, Harvey." Mr. Cheney dropped the telegram and tried to breathe deeply. He couldn't believe it. He ran upstairs to his wife. "Harvey's alive," he shouted. "We got a telegram from him. He's in Gloucester, Massachusetts." At first, Mrs. Cheney cried because she didn't believe him. Then she cried because she believed him. Mr. Cheney embraced her and cried too. "It's a miracle," they both said. "It's unbelievable." "Milsom," Mr. Cheney shouted down the stairs to his assistant, "we're going to the East Coast. I want a private train to Boston immediately. Get everything ready." Milsom immediately started to look at the train timetables. He wanted to find the fastest route. "Miss Kinsey," he said to his secretary, "please send a telegram to Los Angeles. Mr. Cheney's private train carriage, the Constance, is there. The railwayman must attach it to the first train going east." Miss Kinsey sent the following telegram. "Send private carriage with train driver and staff to San Diego. Prepare to leave Sunday. Connect in Chicago Tuesday for New York. Attach car to fast train from New York to Boston. Must arrive Wednesday. Cheney." "Milsom," Mr. Cheney called again, "please also send a telegram to my son. He must meet us in Boston." Telegrams left and arrived. One arrived from Los Angeles and another from Chicago. The workers were confused. What was happening? Mr. and Mrs. Cheney laughed. "Tell them the truth," said Mr. Cheney, amused. "Our son is alive and coming home." They left San Diego early the next morning. Mrs. Cheney was so impatient and she didn't want to remove her hat. "If I keep my hat on my head, the time will seem shorter," she exclaimed. "Please tell the train driver to hurry." "Try to sleep, my dear," said her husband, trying to calm her. But he was impatient too. In Chicago, somebody threw a newspaper into their carriage. It had a photograph of Harvey and an interview with their boy. Mrs. Cheney read every word and was silent for a while. The journey from coast to coast was 3,780 kilometres. It took 3 days, 15 and a half hours. Harvey was waiting for them at the train station. After a lot of emotion, most people, and all boys, demand food. The Cheney family had a great celebration in their private carriage. Harvey ate, drank, and told his parents about all his sea adventures. And his mother held his hand. The trains roared in and out of the station, but they paid no attention to any of them. Harvey's skin was darker now, after 3 months at sea. His hands were rough and hard, and a smell of fish hung on his clothes. "I worked really hard," Harvey told his parents. "I know how to catch fish and clean them, put up the sails, and steer a boat and lots of other things. The captain paid me $10 a month. There's a lot of work in $10 a month. I began with $8 a month, my boy, said his father. I'll tell you all about it one day. Mr. Cheney looked at his son carefully. Harvey isn't the same person anymore, he said to himself. He's a responsible young man now. Disco Troop taught my son how to become a man.